Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And what a week it's been. What a week it shall be. So was it really all that interesting? Somewhat, a little bit. I had my second conversation with a relatively wealthy baby boomer white woman. Maybe 70, 75 years old, somewhere in there. And she's convinced that the election of Donald Trump means she'll have no health care and that she'll have all the rights she fought for all those years are gone. She said are gone in the present tense. And somehow Trump will stop her from ever getting another abortion. And it was strange. But this is the second time. It might be the third time. I can't recall. There might be a third. Anyway, there's a lot of middle-aged and elderly liberal women who are experiencing a Trump-induced psychosis. And it's dangerous for Trump because, I mean, many of these women, they're somebody's mom and somebody's grandma, and they're actually thought of as respectable members of civilized society. And they have the ability to influence their kids and their grandkids and to try to kill Trump or at least root for his assassination. They want their kids to root for Donald Trump's assassination or maybe hope someone else who's less lazy than them will go and do it. So it's very dangerous, precarious time for everyone, actually. What with because there's a psychosis on the right too. I mean, we know about the maniac leftists, who they're the ones who tend to actually kill people and get violent is the maniacal left. But there's a psychosis on the right. It's just not as acute, but it's actually more disturbing and probably far worse for just the state of civilization than the maniacal leftists, who've always been with us. But the psychosis on the right, I mentioned it last week, but I've refined it. MAGA means conservatives are celebrating the prospect of being governed by vulgar, fornicating socialists as opposed to homosexual, child-molesting communists. And so the normal Christian people like us, we should reprove both the communists and the socialists. We shouldn't be celebrating either side. We should pray for them and preach Christ to them. We will pray for them. And we will give Trump credit when he does something right. But we'll always make it clear that whatever he does, it isn't going to get him in good with God. No matter what Paula White and Franklin Graham tell him, they're lying to him. Trump is on his way to hell along with the significant majority of the people with their MAGA hats on. And so we'll try to do our best to reach those. As far as the 75-year-old who's afraid she can't get any more abortions because Donald Trump won the election, I don't know that there's any hope for her. I suppose maybe there is hope. I guess where there's life, there's hope. But that was a pretty strange conversation. And what was weird was I didn't bring up anything about anything political. We were talking about something completely unrelated in the world of medicine. And she just went on a tirade. It was as if, like, all at once, the Xanax wore off and she just, I don't know. It was bizarre. I feel sorry for the lady. So meanwhile, let's go into the big headlines of the week, the big news of the week. The Fall of the Rat-Faced Boy, Bashar al-Assad in Syria. So I always think of his dad, Hafez al-Assad, because Hafez al-Assad ruled Syria for more of my life than Bashar al-Assad, who's the rat-faced son of the original. So the father, Hafez, he actually led an army and conquered. And I mean, at least he was accomplished in something. Bashar, he was just the rat-faced son that everyone hated. They were like, this punk is going to rule over us just because his dad? Oh, man. So I always knew that Bashar al-Assad would collapse in a moment, given just enough opportunity. So many people hate him. Even his friends, the Iranians and the Russians, they hate the guy. He just happened to be there, and that's... And so now he's probably, I guess he's in Russia. Nobody knows exactly where he is right now. But he's no longer in charge of Syria. And oddly enough, what's being called a lightning revolution that just erupted organically out of nowhere, nobody saw it coming, at least no one in the intelligence community, at least not that anyone was talking about. But oddly enough, CNN landed an exclusive interview with the rebel leader. They happened to know exactly where he was. He was at an undisclosed location in Syria, and he sat down with the CNN interviewers as if he's a member of the Sons of Liberty. It was really bizarre. Not that I watched it, because I didn't watch it. But I just saw a picture of this guy in a suit and tie on a CNN set. It's as if they were interviewing a member of Congress who was running for office. And it wasn't a member of the Sons of Liberty. It wasn't Thomas Jefferson. It was Abu Mohammed al-Jolani. He's the head of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. Does anyone remember who these guys are? So they used to be with al-Qaeda, but al-Qaeda wasn't quite radical enough for them. So they broke off and then they joined ISIS for a while. And then they all decided they hated each other, started killing each other. So they split off from ISIS and now they've conquered Syria. And CNN does a sit-down interview with him as if he's Benjamin Franklin. It's just a very surreal time in politics and media. It's just very strange. How is it that CNN knew where the guy was and got the interview and had time to do the set during the whole lightning revolution that nobody... It's just weird. That's all. Just strikes me as odd. And nobody wants to mention the fact, or maybe we'll just have it wiped from our memory, that back around 2015-16... the United States government was bombing Syrian troops on behalf of Abu Mohammed al-Jolani and ISIS and al-Qaeda. And they tell us, oh no, ISIS and al-Qaeda, they're not on the same side. One Sunni, one Shiite, they hate each. They are on the same side. And now I know it because Abu Mohammed al-Jolani, he was affiliated with both of them. And yes, they all hate each other, but they hate us more. That's all. They hate the Christians more. And they're all socialists, by the way. CNN quoted the Abu Mohammed al-Jolani, the al-Qaeda-affiliated ISIS head-chopping Muslim maniac. They quoted him as saying he plans to create a government in Syria based on institutions and a council chosen by the people. I'll pause for effect. Really? Okay. And CNN lets him say that, but you know, whatever. They let Joe Biden and Kamala Harris act like they were in charge of America for 4 years. So I guess they can quote the... Okay, so let's go from... Anyway, the fall of the rat-faced boy over there in Syria... Probably the most dangerous and most promising moment in the Middle East since the mullahs took Iran in 1979. Make no mistake about it. The rat-faced boy would not have been in power without Iran constantly defending him from everyone who hated him. and the Russians, constantly propping up the rat-faced boy there. And so Iran, in my estimation, is very much next. That all the mullahs in Iran should look at the rat-faced boy hiding, running off to Russia, and realize everybody hates them too. And without the Russians constantly propping up the mullahs in Iran, their power will vanish in a moment. In a moment. You want to talk about a lightning revolution? Wait till the mullahs fall. We can only hope Iran's impending collapse, the Iranian regime's impending collapse, happens as quickly. And then somehow that radical Islamists are held at bay. I don't know how that happens. Since Al-Qaeda basically just took Syria with help from the American military. So it is a surreal moment. So it's like someone needs to take Iran before Al-Qaeda and Obama take it, because they shouldn't be allowed to have it. Hopefully there's some people in Iran who can oust the mullahs and keep the radical Muslim, because the Iranians, they hate the idea of a radical Islamic regime. Why? Because they've been living under one since 1979. So maybe they will manage to throw out the Muslims, at least the crazy ones. Someone needs to, yeah, hopefully. Because if Al-Qaeda and ISIS are allowed to take Iran, then the American hegemony and supremacy that we've enjoyed for the past 100 years in America, it's over with. If we let Iran fall, if we don't take this opportunity to take Iran, then it's over for American hegemony and supremacy. And by the way, for all you people who whine about forever wars, oh no, endless war, you bunch of whiners. You whine about endless wars and you whine about America not being the policeman of the world, and you're just a bunch of affluent suburban wussies. And you think that your cushy lifestyle is a result of something you did, like your own genius, or that you're somehow entitled to it. Well, it's not. It's the result of American blood and treasure establishing and holding dominance in the world through almost constant warfare. Overt and covert, because that's what it takes to keep the maniacs at bay. Forever war. That's what it takes. Forever war. So quit whining about it. You just don't know. You don't know where you've come from. You don't know anything about history. You just know how to go to Starbucks and log on to the internet and go on to Instagram and make TikTok videos, and you're against forever war. You're an ignorant, stupid child. Tucker Carlson, all of them. Tucker Carlson was born with a cup of coffee in his hand and a sport coat and a bow tie, and he's going to whine about forever wars. Shut up. All right. So let's see. Did I have anything else about all that? Tell the kids to shut up. Anyway. So you children who think that you just deserve your nice, peaceful, affluent lifestyle, you need to realize that the moral capital that past generations accumulated for you and gave to us as a gift through their blood and their sweat and their tears, and, by the way, their loyalty to God, all that moral capital that was accumulated has been squandered by this generation. And you'll be wishing you had it so good under the forever wars very soon. All of you whining children. You have no clue. All right. Now, should I go to the widespread panic? Be prepared for the widespread panic. So I want to ask, so how often in history does it happen that when a culture is seized by criminals, that it returns that country to the people it stole it from without violence. How often does that happen? How often are the conquerors removed without violence? So I'm going to tell you, for all of you affluent children sipping your lattes whining about forever wars, it's never in human history do the violent criminals seize the government and then give it back. Never once in human history. At least that I'm aware of. If I'm wrong, please let me know. When was it that the violent criminals seized the government and then gave it back without violence? When did that happen? Ever? Worldview. That's right, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. So Hafez al-Assad, he took Syria by force. It's with violence. The mullahs in Iran took Iran by force with violence. The criminally insane sex cult that seized the American government in 2020, they took it by force. With violence. Violence, by the way, means to violate someone else. It doesn't necessarily mean to physically injure them. And so the government of America was seized in 2020 by violent force. And it's going to be recovered without violence. Okay, so we'll, I hope so. I really do. America is fairly unique. Although the war for American independence required violence. So, but if we can recover it in an election, that would be a rather unique event, and we can all hope for that because we all want peace. So I was reminded by my extremely attractive audio engineer in the break that there are no uncrazy Muslims in Iran. And so... We're not, so that really leaves it fairly difficult to have hope for what's about to happen in Iran. And, so the crazy mullahs are akin to the Democrats. And then the non-insane Muslims who don't want to chop each other's heads off are something like MAGA. They Maya, make Iran great again, MEGA. So they can all have red hats and not cut each other's heads off. Let's hope so. All right, so from there, let's see, we've gone from CNN sit down with the Al-Qaeda leader, which they're allowed to do that, I guess. I know they're the one who they didn't they follow Osama bin Laden up into a cave? Wasn't that a CNN guy? I can't remember. Anyway, it was a leftist urinalist. I can assure you of that. All right. Meanwhile, the widespread panic is being prepared. The CDC is confirming dozens of salmonella cases in a multi-state outbreak linked to cucumbers. Oh, no, cucumbers. How do we know it's cucumbers? Well, because the CDC says so. And how can we be sure that the CDC is not fabricating data in order to scare people? We can't. We can't be certain of that. Because now the USDA... If you're not scared enough about the cucumbers that have made several people get the runs in several different... It's terrible. Horrible. Be afraid. Now the USDA is ordering the testing of raw milk for bird flu. Why? In order to scare you and get you ready for the next big flip. I know. I'm a conspiracy theorist. Let me tighten up my tinfoil hat. Because it's not like the government would ever gin up a bunch of fear in order to turn the world upside down because they're not happy about the way the election is going. That's never happened before. entities handling raw milk must collect and share samples with the USDA upon request, is how NBC News puts it. It's not upon request. It's at when they demand. It's a demand, not a request. The USDA has armed officers who will go into your milk plant and demand samples. The order, according to NBC News, of a trusted news organ of the criminally insane sex cult, says the order, the USDA order, responds to renewed urgency to address the rapid spread of bird flu among livestock. Oh, I'm so scared. The cows are getting the flu. What should we do? Lockdowns, masks, tests. Let's start testing. Okay, let's start testing the livestock. Do you people remember what happened the last time the government demanded that we all start testing? What we started finding exactly what they were testing. Makes me crazy. But they're going to do it. They're going to do this again. No, surely they could never pull that off again. Never in a million years, right? That's I'm being far too pessimistic. You know what I would expect to see? I would expect to see private businesses that handle raw milk standing up and saying, get out of my shop. You're not collecting anything from any of my cows. Get out of here. And then the USDA guys hiding under their truck for fear. That's what should happen. Let's see. The order, I already read this. The order responds to the rapid spread of bird flu among livestock. Scientists are worried about that. Why? Well, there's no reason for them to be worried about it, but NBC says they're very worried about it. They say that it could eventually pose a more widespread risk to human health. So do you hear how many modifiers? It could eventually pose a more widespread risk. What are you talking about? They want to imply that you could get sick and die, but they can't say that because that's not true in any way. That, by the way, just so you know, there is no evidence that people can pass bird flu to each other. There is no evidence of that. But that doesn't matter because the way NBC put it, there is no evidence yet that people can pass bird flu to each other, and we're going to create such evidence so that we can scare everyone and flip everybody out. Because, yeah, they say scientists worry it could eventually pose a more widespread risk to human health now that Donald Trump is back in office. Uh-huh. They say the H5N1 virus, the latest one being tracked, might evolve in the direction that allows human-to-human transmission, which could lead to the next human pandemic now that Donald Trump is back in office. The next pandemic. See, so it's... we were at a party, which we never go to parties ever. Well, that's slightly exaggerated because we went to one last night. And everyone is all just happy and excited, like everything's going to be okay now that Donald Trump is back in office. But does anybody remember what happened the last time Donald Trump was in office? The world was flipped upside down, and the government was seized by maniacs, and a puppet was installed. Anyway, just color me cautious. I'm going to be cautious, okay? I'm not even going to be cautiously optimistic because I'm not very optimistic. I'm more cautious than optimistic. All right. And every time I hear another report about salmonella or bird flu or ground beef recalls, E. coli, Marburg, shut up. All right. Meanwhile... we go to reason number 1,251 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. A program focusing on satanic studies is kicking off in some government schools in Ohio. That's right. The Satanic Temple is launching satanic studies as an alternative to Bible-based instruction, but that's not the reason to get or keep your children out of the government school. Stick with me, okay? You think it's the Satanists, but it's not. Okay, so the Satanic Temple, they have what they call their Hellion Academy of Independent Learning. The acronym is HAIL. You know, like Hail Satan. Isn't that cute? One thing you got to give the Satanists is they are fairly witty. Okay? Hail is the name of their... The school there in Ohio currently offers a Christian-based program via LifeWise, which LifeWise says is, quote, designed to take students through the entire Bible, beginning in Genesis and ending in Revelation. And because of that, the Satanists have launched Hail Satan as a response to Christian-based release programs. You say a release program? What is that? That's an odd vernacular. I don't understand. What does that mean? Well, that is educational governmental jargon, a release program. A release program is normally what happens to prisoners when they, he's a low-level offender, it wasn't a violent offense, and he needs to make a living, feed his family, so he spends some time in jail, but then he's on a release program so he can go to work. You've heard of that? Well, it's a similar thing, except it's for the children in the government schools. If they want to look at a Bible or hear the name of Jesus Christ, they have to leave the school grounds. It's called a release program. This is how Republicans over the past 20 or 30 years have claimed to have reformed education. They now force the government schools to release the prisoners for a couple of hours. They remove them off the school grounds, and then they show them Bibles and speak the name of Jesus Christ. And then the children are returned to the compound where they're not allowed to look at Bibles. And so reason number 1,251 to get or keep your children out of the government schools is because they have to leave the school grounds to hear about Jesus or to see a Bible. That should be a red flag, Mom. That should set off alarms, Dad. They have to be removed from the grounds if they want to see a Bible or hear about Jesus. Maybe you should not send your kid there. It's a Jesus-free zone. That should be a red flag. That's right. Reason number 1,251. It's not the Satanists. They're obvious. And they're easy to beat. But not if you're not allowed to show the kids the Bible or tell them about Jesus. So that's the reason. That should be the red flag. And for any Christian organization that participates in one of these release programs, you're simply helping to confuse parents into thinking the schools are okay. And so you're not contributing to the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would contribute to the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation would be for Christians en masse to pull all their kids out of the government schools, so that we could show the world that the schools are a disaster and that we are separate from that. That would be a better approach than trying to put lipstick on the pig that is the government schools. All right. Meanwhile, more. Reason number 1,249 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, the alien armed gangs that are taking root in the schools. That's right. I have a story by Pavel Stierna from the American Immigration Reform, writing that the harmful impacts of mass illegal immigration are being felt in Northern Virginia's Loudoun County school system. Loudoun County? Isn't that where they arrested the guy who was upset because a tranny assaulted his daughter in the bathroom? So a tranny assaults a guy's daughter. He comes down the school board to complain. The school board had him arrested. And you think that criminal terrorists are the problem in Loudoun County? Okay, well, I would say that That criminal, armed criminal MS-13 gang member that's attending, yeah, he's a problem. But not as big a problem as the school board, in my opinion. Anyway, but Loudoun County parents, they've had just about enough. You know, arresting normal people because they're upset about the assault of the tranny against the... So that upset them. But now that there's armed MS-13 members in the school, now parents are finally drawing the line. So they're raising concerns because an illegal alien was attending Loudoun Valley High School. Despite having been caught with a gun in May of 2023, parents are asking, where's the protection and safety for our children? Unquote. Where? Well, it's not going to be in a school system that arrests a father who's upset about a tranny assaulting his... So, is that what it takes for you parents? Does there have to be an armed guy with a gun on campus before you finally say, well, something happened. We have to do something about that. So what have the parents decided to do? They've decided to sue the Loudoun County School Board for violating their First Amendment rights. Back in September, Fox News, Fox 45, the local channel, broke a story about the MS-13 gang member. He was allowed to enroll in not just one, but two public high schools, sparking outrage among the parents. That's right. And the author here, Powell Sterna, American Immigration Reform, part of the pro-family industry. He says, the author of the story, says, our children deserve better. Hey, Powell. They're not our children. My children aren't your children. They're mine. It's the Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host. That reminds me, they reopened Notre Dame Cathedral over there in France.
What is
Notre Dame Catholic Cathedral that... Some Muslims burned it about 5 years ago.
What are you talking about?
No. I'm saying the French government. Uh-oh. Actually, I guess it's the Catholic Church. Just reopened Notre Dame Cathedral. No, what? You thought that band was opening at Notre Dame?
Yeah, because I have okay. No idea.
So you're really out of the loop on... a mysterious fire burned Notre Dame Cathedral back in 2019. And because Western civilization just ain't what it used to be, it's taken them almost 6 years to fix it. Because I'm not sure. I think the French ran out of money, or I'm not sure exactly what the... But anyway, the Notre Dame is a fake phony facade on a fake phony religion. And just because it looks pretty, that doesn't mean it's good. Okay? That's all. I don't want to beat up on the Catholics too much, but there you have it. Fake phony obfuscationist religion designed to keep people from coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And if they do happen to fall backwards into hearing the gospel and believe it, it's designed to keep them ignorant. And it's very sad. And all of the fake phony Christians like Donald Trump, of course, was at the reopening of Notre Dame because... The fakest, phoniest Christians have to be at the biggest, fakest, phoniest Christian, fake, phony Christian operations. That's all. All right. So, meanwhile, let's go to reason number 1,250 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. How can you tell if someone's not a fake, phony Christian? One of the biggest signs is they don't send their kids to the government schools. That's a good sign that they're not a fake, phony. And if they're calling for reform of the government schools, well, they might be fake phony. They might need some help is all. Give them the benefit of the doubt and assume they're going straight to hell with jet rockets and preach the gospel to any Christian who says, while sending their kids to the schools, we need to reform the schools. Because at the very least, they need to be educated. Okay, I'll be nice. I have a story here from AEI.org. Whenever you see .org, be suspicious, okay? Because that means that they've bent the knee to the government tax-free. I forget what they call it, 501c3. That whole sham. So anyone who's a .org, they're an NGO now, and I don't like that. So I'm very suspicious. I know all the there's good organizations that have .org in their name, and it's a shame that they're now associated with criminal operations. It's sad. But when the government set it up so that you, the only way you could avoid a voracious taxation was to basically bend the knee and say, well, we'll mention the name of Jesus, but we won't mention him in regards to how he relates to the government or anything like that. And we'll obey all the rules so that the people who send us money can supposedly deduct it off their taxes, which that's all a big scam. If you ever knew, I don't even want to get into it. All right, so AEI.org, reason number 1,250 to get or keep your children out of government schools. AEI.org, which is, do I have the name of this outfit? The American Economic Institute. So I should have written this down, but conservatives, they say, have long understood that school choice is a winning issue. That means they care about winning issues, not necessarily children, or civilization, or right and wrong, or good and evil, or God and the devil. What they care about is winning issues. Why? Because that gins up funds during the election cycle, which is what the American Enterprise Institute is all about. There it is, AEI.org. The American Enterprise Institute, part of the pro-family industry, bamboozling and bilking decent people for however long they've been around. Okay. They say conservatives and their policy preferences were unwelcome in the government school environment. Conservatives and their policy preferences were pushed to the sidelines, leading many on the right to retreat from traditional public schools entirely. Is that what you think I did? You think I retreated from the traditional public schools entirely? How about I smack you in the mouth, punk? You lawyer punk with your suit and tie. I didn't retreat from anything. I'm not going to feed my kids into a monster child-eating machine. That's not a retreat, you stupid punk. I'll grab you by your tie. All right.
Don't get personal.
So he says, this punk with American Enterprise Institute, he says that those of us who've retreated, he blames us for allowing the environment to become more and more leftist, maniacal, antichrist, godless, evil, wicked.
Really?
So, well, he implies that. He says we shouldn't have run away.
Oh.
We should have worked to reform by sending the American Enterprise Institute money, and then they could elect Republicans and get people on the school board. Set up release programs so we could get your children out of jail for 3 hours a day and show them Bibles.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, he does say that the exodus from the government schools by Christians, he says it's been working. Republicans' red state strategy has yielded important victories, particularly passing universal education savings accounts, allowing the communist dictators of the various states to exempt some small portion of the money of parents so that they could put it away so that they could maybe afford to send their kid to private school until they realized they couldn't afford to send their kid to private school. But that by then, the American Enterprise Institute had blown all the money and elected their Republicans, and they were off drinking champagne, eating lobster, while the parents were looking at the measly tax credit and realizing that I can't put my kid through private school with all that. What am I supposed to do? You've been bamboozled. Anyway, the American Enterprise Institute article continues. The election of Donald Trump now creates a permission structure for conservatives to engage in big city education reform. Uh-huh. It's more than just good a big city education reform for low-income children of color. That's right. They say it's more than just good politics, but mainly it's just politics. I mean, that's... See, he goes on to pretend that we're going to actually help inner-city children by reforming the government institution that's destroyed Western civilization. To a bunch of communist maniac sex perverts in the government schools. Now the American Enterprise Institute says that because Donald Trump's the president, we're going to be able to raise more money. We're going to get in there. We're going to act like we're going to give these poor families choices between this communist school and this homosexual transvestite school. And then over here, we have the Satanist school. And so you can choose now. And then we'll send out some fundraising letters showing everyone how much good we're doing in the inner city schools. And we'll have pictures of black kids with little puppy dog eyes looking up at us, thanking us for giving the choice between the various godless child-eating monster schools. So it's not just good politics, but it's mainly just politics, because American Enterprise Institute is part of the pro-family industry, making an industry of appealing to the bellies and wallets of parents who should know better. They should know better. So what is reason number 1,250 to get or keep your children out of the government schools? It's that the Republicans are going to keep putting lipstick on the pig and keep convincing you to send your kids to the schools, even convincing you that you have some sort of choice. So that's reason number 667 to get out of the Republican Party. Anyway, meanwhile, from the Sad Religion File, Harvard Memorial Church, Harvard Memorial Church hosted an event called, quote, "Reading Taylor Swift as a Sacred Text," unquote. That event was held inside the Harvard Memorial Church. It was organized by the Harvard Memorial Church Student Program Coordinator and Multi-Faith Engagement Fellow. There's way too many names in that title. Student Program Coordinator and Multi-Faith Engagement Fellow was in charge of this, reading Taylor Swift as a sacred text in the church. They say there's a description of the event. The Taylor Swift canon honors the important emotional and spiritual role her body of work plays in many people's lives. That's from the event description published in the name of the Harvard Memorial Church. The RSVP page goes on to state the following. The gathering is, quote, open to people from all religious, ethical, and spiritual backgrounds, unquote. Ethical? Really? I mean, is it possible? So this was written by someone attending Harvard University. Is it possible they meant ethnic, but they said ethical? I think that's possible. So if it is ethical, that really, you start saying, well, what about murderers and, you know, rapists and killers and bank robbers? Is the gathering open to them? I mean, they're of a differing ethical background. So that would be bad. But if they meant ethnic, but they put ethical, that means people at Harvard are pretty dumb, which is just indicative of, well, what we've been documenting on this show for the better part of 20-some-odd years, the decline and fall of Western civilization. I'm going to assume they meant ethnic backgrounds, because that's what they're all obsessed with, differing religious ethnic backgrounds. They're certainly not all about ethics. So probably don't even know what the word ethics means. Probably have to give them a class. Anyway, They say in the, let's see, we will be using Lectio Divina, an ancient Christian monastic reading practice, but the insights you gain from this practice will not necessarily be connected to the Christian tradition, they say, as if they had to let us know that reading Taylor Swift may not be necessarily connected to the Christian tradition. After all, these are Harvard students. You have to be pretty precise and clear, so or they get confused. So, by the way, the Harvard Charter contains the following statement, that Harvard was founded to, quote, educate the English and Indian youth in knowledge and godliness, unquote. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. We've got to get to the news. It was a slow news week, I thought, but here we are. We're already to the final segment of the show, and I'm barely getting to Janet Yellen. Secret Service agent fired a shot outside Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's home. Yes, it was
alive.
Janet Yellen's still alive. She's still in the government for the next few minutes. Well, I mean, once Donald Trump is allowed to take the oath of office, I suppose Janet will be out of a job. But as of right now, she's still pretending to have authority over some organ in the government, which is bizarre, right? I mean, you see her on TV or you see pictures of her in the news, and you're like, you've got to be kidding me. This person exercises authority that might impact my life? It's terrifying. Forget the bird flu. Got Janet Yellen. She's one of these, I'm sure she's experienced some level of psychosis after the election. Anyway, there were suspects outside of her home trying to break into unoccupied cars. And so a Secret Service agent shot at the criminals. Now, no one was hit because obviously the Secret Service ain't what it used to be. And no one's been apprehended because, well, I already said. And then the story I got here from the Post, they go on about how other politicians have been carjacked recently. Henry Cuellar, a communist out of Texas, had his car stolen at gunpoint in Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., and is not ashamed of the fact that he's responsible for the environment. Because he's a communist congressman from Texas who's been destroying the country for his entire career. He's been encouraging and emboldening criminals for his entire, while stealing money in broad daylight from people as a communist Democrat. He gets his car stolen at gunpoint and still has no shame and doesn't understand that he's a part of the problem. The reason his car was stolen at gunpoint, Henry Cuellar, is because of him. Henry Cuellar, mostly. That's why. So Henry, whoever stole his car should be arrested, and then Henry should be arrested. They should be put on trial together as accomplices in the crime. That's Henry Cuellar. We can laugh about that. But Mike Gill, former Trump official, served as the CEO of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. He was shot dead by a carjacker in January 2024 there in D.C., and this is all as D.C. struggled with criminal justice reform, which is another name for communists legalizing crime. So a bunch of communists voted to legalize crime in D.C. in 2022, 2023. All this was going on. You remember? Remember defund the police and all that? Well, while that was going on, carjackers got really bold. Why? Because everyone was talking about making crime legal, including carjacking. They wanted to reduce the penalty for carjacking, and it actually got voted in by the District of Columbia Student Council there for a few minutes before some adults arrived and said, this is crazy, you can't do this. Joe Biden even overrode the criminal code that practically legalized carjacking in D.C. Why did he do that? He was probably worried about his friends and family getting carjacked. Because otherwise, he could care less. Congress and President Biden actually overrode the criminal code that the insane communist children in D.C. voted in. But while all this was going on, you know, if the governing officials are debating legalizing crime, criminals go insane. They're happy. They're joyful. They go on crime sprees and carjack people and kill people. And so whoever voted for this criminal justice reform on the District of Columbia Council, the student council there, they should be arrested. Because just the fact that they voted for it, whether or not it got overrode, it didn't matter. The message had been sent. Crime is legal. And people got killed over it. People got carjacked. And that's just the people we've heard of who got carjacked and killed. There are probably dozens, if not hundreds, of low-income minority families who were negatively impacted when one of their members was killed while the governing communist maniac children debated whether or not they should legalize crime. So if you want to debate legalizing crime, you should be arrested. That's all. That should be the end of the debate. But why are we in the problem we're in? Well, it's godlessness. It's compounded by psychology. Listen to this. Author Dean Dwyer reports over at Harbinger Daily, which is an allegedly right-wing news site. This is from the Psycho Babble file. Author Dean Dwyer says he recently saw an interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the right's new favorite communist maniac baby killer. Everybody loves Bobby Kennedy. He's a communist. He's a child killer. He's okay with the trannies and the queers and the perverts. He's okay with putting boys in the girls' room. He's okay with all of that, but he's against vaccines, so we love him. Yeah, and he's a Catholic. He's a part of the big fake phony Catholic religion there. He's probably over at Notre Dame there with Donald Trump and Elon Musk all chanting along to Taylor Swift. Anyway, so he gave an interview, Bobby Kennedy, where he spoke of the impact that Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung's writing had on his life, particularly as he clawed his way out of drug addiction. Isn't that bizarre how the news media reports on people who quit drinking or doing drugs, and they treat them like they're some patriot who landed on Normandy at D-Day because they stopped drinking or getting high? Please, I'm not that impressed, Bobby. So you were getting high and getting drunk for most of your young life, and then you stopped, and I'm supposed to think that you're some kind of hero? All right, get over yourself. Clawed your way out of drug addiction. Come on. But that's the way the journalists are trained to report on it, so that everyone can worship Bobby Kennedy because he quit drinking or quit getting high or whatever he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, Kennedy says that after he sobered up, he read Carl Jung's book. And according to Jung, Bobby read that religious people had an advantage over addiction because their faith led them to beat their addiction while ensuring their recovery was more durable. You needed to read a book by an alleged genius like Carl Jung to realize that people who believe in God have a better ability to quit drinking and getting high than people who don't? Okay, Bobby, I thought you were smart. I guess you're not all that bright. But anyway, he says Carl Jung's work inspired him to claw his way out of drug addiction. And so then the author here, Dean Dwyer, he goes on to talk about the dangers of Carl Jung's communist psychobabble theories that RFK doesn't even realize that he's reading a communist maniac psychobabbler. And Jungian theory goes hand in hand with Marxism and communism and godlessness and the destruction of the world. But Bobby thinks he's great because he helped me quit getting high. It's fantastic. So anyway, it's a good article over at it's Harbinger Daily. Author Dean Dwyer talks about the fact that Jungian theory and Christianity are incompatible because Jungian is an atheist communist psychologist. And by the way, so RFK, we know he's a froth at the mouth, child killing communist. And Jung, what's his first name? Carl Jung. He is one of the illegitimate fathers of the bastard child called psychology that is designed to separate people from God and destroy the world. That's what psychology is. Psychology is learning how to lord it over people by convincing them you know what they're thinking and why. And then you lord that over them. That's what psychology is. Psychology is a satanic power play by the crafty against the simple. And it's evil, and it permeates pop culture and the education system and the media. And people don't even know. Even people who think they're Christians, even people who are Christians, they don't know that they're basically being brainwashed into a psychological worldview whenever they consume media and movies and education. And people don't even realize that their minds are being corrupted and twisted by a communist maniac antichrist, Carl Jung, Karl Marx, and who's the other one? The other famous psychologist. Well, all of them. They're all a bunch of communist antichrists, and it's the whole society is awash in it. Turn off your TV. Stop reading the news, because it's too powerful for most people. They don't even realize that they're being corrupted, and it's sad to see. And it leads to things like this. We have from the fake religion file, as reported by Breitbart.com, here's the headline. Gwen Stefani shares Christmas message about the love of Jesus Christ. And so I read the headline, and now see, I'm not brainwashed by psychobabble. I recognize craftiness when I see it. And so I read the headline, and I'm like, Gwen Stefani shares Christmas message about the love of Jesus Christ. So I noticed the word "the" right there, because I realized that's not her love of Jesus Christ. And I thought, that's an odd way to put it. The love of Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't she post a message about her love of Jesus Christ? And the reason is because she didn't. But Breitbart wanted to make it sound like she did, because Breitbart knows that all of you are pretty stupid and easily manipulated. And so all of us, they know all of us. I shouldn't say all of you, because I'm as stupid as you are. Please trust me. I am. But I recognize this didn't fake me out. Here's the story. Christmas, said Gwen Stefani, who's a singer from some band from the 90s. And she looks like a prostitute, and she's now a Christian hero because, well, here, Christmas is the season that we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord, Stefani said in a video posted on Instagram. She went on to say, I'm excited that I've partnered with this amazing prayer, meditation, and music app called Hollow. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Hallow. I called it Hollow. It's a Catholic prayer and meditation and music app that has hired Gwen Stefani to advertise for them. And that's why she's so excited. And so she goes on to say, join me and millions of other Christians around the world as we celebrate that God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, unquote. And so I stopped right there and I circled the word us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son? Hey, Gwen, that's not quite the way that goes. Yeah. But the average consumer of psychobabble reads that and they think Gwen Stefani is a great Christian leader. And she's so brave. She's out there standing up for her faith.
Stop it.
And she goes on to say, download Halo and join me in praying every day. So I could pray right alongside Gwen Stefani. The Breitbart article, the propaganda piece by Breitbart being propagated against Christians and against Christianity, went on to say, earlier this year, Mark Wahlberg led a prayer during the Super Bowl. During an advertisement, because Mark Wahlberg is a paid spokesman for Halo, which is a satanic outreach of the Catholic Church to try to corrupt people. And then movie star Chris Pratt revealed that he listens to the Bible in a Year podcast featured on the Halo app. So led by some Catholic priest, a Catholic guy pretending he's a priest, pretending that we need priests, which people fall for, like Mark Wahlberg and Chris Pratt. And Gwen Stefani, probably not. She's just picking up a paycheck. But notice, I watched the whole video of Gwen Stefani. I watched the whole thing, as painful as it was. And I noticed that the only person in the Gwen Stefani ad that used the name of Jesus Christ was the headline writer at Breitbart, because Gwen Stefani never said the name of Jesus Christ. So Gwen did not utter the name of Jesus Christ because she's not a Christian and because she's just a paid spokesman and she's part of the satanic demonic conspiracy to hide the gospel in religion and fake you out. That's what she is. And so that now I can't get to the pardon of Hunter Biden because it pales in comparison to the level of wickedness being perpetrated by Gwen Stefani and the Catholic Church.
That's the way the Catholics are all going for the celebs.
Uh-huh. Oh, they love the celebrities. Well, the celebrities love the whole Catholic thing because it allows them to live like the devil and to believe that they got everything okay with God. You know, kind of like what they're doing with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I want to close on... So what should I close with? From the mask hysteria file, the United Healthcare CEO who was shot down, gunned down in broad daylight in Manhattan, in the middle of the day, in front of the Hilton. Pretty shocking assassination of the CEO of the largest healthcare purveyor in America. Brian Thompson cut down. The Reddit had to close one of their medicine forums after about 500 replies. People were critical of United Healthcare. After the CEO gets gunned down in broad daylight in the street, people are actually celebrating the death of a health insurance executive. And that's indicative, by the way, of a crime that's been perpetrated against the American people and the hatred that builds up within us when we're victimized and when we're forced by gangsters to go along, which is what health insurance is. It's a criminal enterprise being forced upon us. We're all forced to buy some sort of health insurance, and that's a criminal act. And when you commit a crime against people for decades, millions and millions of people, there's an undercurrent of hatred. And when you build an industry that's designed to make money off of pretending to care about people's health, people end up hating you for it. And so this guy gets shot, and people are happy. And the press acts all shocked, like, where's all this hatred coming from? Well, the hatred comes from the fact that for decades, people have been basically bulldozed by a criminal gang running the government and forced to buy health insurance. And then the health insurance companies, they treat people terribly, and people wonder why. So I'm not shocked that people are celebrating that this guy got shot down and killed. He was under investigation for insider trading, and the whole industry of insurance is a criminal. It's a criminal enterprise. At least where the government makes you buy insurance, that's a criminal act. That shouldn't be allowed. And so naturally, there's going to be all kinds of hatred. But that's not what I wanted to get into on this story. I was supposed to be closing the show, and so what I wanted to get at was, and why this is in the mask hysteria file, which that file has not made an appearance on the show in quite some time, because like most normal people think that, well, nobody's walking around with masks anymore, right? I mean, only the people experiencing the psychosis from the Trump administration election, the middle-aged baby boomer white woman liberal, she might still wear the mask at the grocery store. But even she doesn't put it up over her nose anymore. Right. So we all thought that that's all. But this kid who shot this guy, he was allowed to walk around in broad daylight for hours in public with a mask on. And police only caught him. They caught a picture of him when he pulled his mask down to flirt with a receptionist at the hotel where he checked in. That's the only reason they have a picture of this guy's face, is because he, in a moment of stupidity, lowered his mask to flirt, and the cops got a picture of him. They still haven't caught the guy, which is shocking that they haven't caught this guy yet. But they have not, at least not as I went to air, and I hope they do, and I hope he's put to death, which he will not be put to death, but I hope he is. New York commissioner, police commissioner is Jessica. That right there bothers me. The fact that the person who's the commissioner of the New York City Police Department is named Jessica, I don't like it. I want a big, strong dude. That's what I want. I want a guy who's beaten bad guys down, right? That's what I want. He says that they had lots of video of this guy. What's that?
She, right?
Oh, she. I'm sorry. See, that was me. That was a Freudian slip. That's the other guy I was trying to think of his name, Freud. So one of the other communist sociopaths who foisted psychoanalysis and psychology on the world. And even Christian friends I have, they think in terms of psychological manipulation. And they don't even know they're doing it. And they don't know that they do it to each other, but they do. And it's sad. Anyway, I want to get back to this. So the police commissioner girl, Jessica, she said they had all kinds of video of this guy walking around for hours waiting to kill this guy, but he had a mask on the whole time. And so that the fact that a guy is allowed to walk around for hours in public with a mask on, that's a problem. And probably this is what it will take for everyone to realize that we need to stop this, because killers can keep their mask on and walk around and kill people. And then they can escape into the night. It's okay. So you shouldn't be allowed to walk around with a mask on. And that might be why I get angry. I've been trying to not get angry at people with their masks on, because I've been trying to be a more loving person. Right. But here, this guy got shot in the back because you idiots allow someone to walk around with a mask on. So cut it out with the masks. Not good. It's dangerous. All right. Now, meanwhile, we have up in Northern California, another deranged leftist walked into a Seventh-day Adventist Christian school, shot two kindergartners, and started ranting and raving about genocide in Palestine, and then killed himself. So this is the dim new world of the perpetual insurrection that we're entering now. That our generation has squandered the moral capital of our parents and grandparents, and now the deranged and the godless are going to carry out this perpetual low-grade insurrection. And this could be what World War III looks like. It's not nation against nation. It's just perpetual carnage of people against one another because they hate each other. And there's an institutionalized psychological manipulation constantly putting pressure on people who already hate each other and just need a reason to kill each other. And it seems that more and more of those people are... they're on the edge enough that they're more and more likely to more and more often carry out things like this awful, horrible, brutal. By the way, a Christian school. Nobody really mentions that in the mainstream media stories about They just say he walked into a school. They don't mention that it's a Seventh-day Adventist Christian school. And as confused as a Seventh-day Adventist might be, there is a cross on the building, and that's what the maniacs, they see the cross, and they just want to kill the Christians. And meanwhile, speaking of psychological manipulation, I have a headline from Yahoo from my average moron feed. The world has been warming faster than expected. Scientists now think they know why. That's too many words for a headline, first of all. But there it is. The world's been warming faster than expected. And then listen to this from CNN, as cited by Yahoo in my average moron newsfeed. Last year was the hottest on record. Oceans boiled. They used the word boiled.
Okay.
Glaciers melted. Neither of which happened. Not yet. No. But, and this isn't an opinion piece. This is a news article. Oceans boiled? So you got like 13-year-old kids. They're terrified. They think the oceans are boiling somewhere. Scientists scrambling to understand why. Really? Do you think scientists are scrambling to understand why the oceans boiled? The oceans didn't boil. Anyway. So that extraordinary heat. I'll just go through the art. Supercharged. Alarming. The planet has darkened. Harmful sulfur emissions. Alarming factor. Global warming. By the time the kids get to the end of this article, they're ready to commit suicide. They think they've destroyed the world. Future warming projections may be underestimated. We should expect rather intense warming in the future, says a scientist who earns his living ginning up climate hysteria and raising money on it. Anyway, don't buy. Don't believe the hype. Don't be manipulated by psychobabble. Tune in to the Weekly Worldview, and we will help you hopefully navigate all of this as it becomes darker and darker. We'll try to shine the light brighter and brighter. We'll be back next week, should the Lord tarry. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.